Welcome to The Modern. I'm Terry Thornton, Curator of Education here, and happy to also welcome you to the opening of Lucian Freud Portraits, which, as I think you know, is a career survey of portraits by one of the 20th century's greatest figurative painters. And I'd also like to welcome you to Sundays with The Modern, which is a free monthly program here at The Modern that happens on the first Sunday of each month. Thanks to financial support of Bank of America, as well as hard work and scholarship of The Modern's chief curator, Michael Opping, this museum is the only U.S. venue for the exhibition, an exhibition which opened to record crowds at the National Portrait Gallery in London before coming here to Fort Worth, Texas. I have to say, a point of pride for all of us. We are quite fortunate to have Michael Opping as our guide for today's tour. Michael worked hand-in-hand with the National Portrait Gallery and curator Sarah Howgate in organizing this exhibition. He wrote a very insightful catalog essay titled Freud from America and conducted four interviews over 2 years with the artist, which is also included in the exhibition catalog. These interviews, in addition to being quite a rare occurrence throughout Freud's career, were in fact the artist's last before his death on July 20th, 2011. So it's quite really a coup to have Michael as our curator here at The Modern and giving us this first tour, introducing us to the exhibition. So it is with great appreciation, and having made my point that you're in very capable hands, I'm going to turn it over now to Chief Curator Michael Opping.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. As Terry said, Freud died a year ago, just before his 89th birthday. He painted for over seven decades, which is very unusual. So he began in the 1940s and died in 2011. And what I'm going to do today is take you quickly. You'll have to be a little agile because we're going to move through the galleries. There's 90 works in this exhibition. And I'm going to try to break it up for you in what I think of as episodes in Lucian's career. And I want to start with this portrait, and you might want to get closer. This is a portrait of Lucian's first wife, Kitty Garman. And at the time he was making these early portraits, his process involved having the sitter sit in a chair, and Lucian would sit in a chair directly in front of them, knee to knee, almost nose to nose. He would then begin to paint very, very meticulously. And these early portraits are very much about detail. He used a very fine sable hair brush. And when you get a chance, you can't do it with this crowd, but you have to come up and look at the hair on Kitty Garman. It's astounding. It looks like it's done with a colored pencil, but it's in fact a brush. And you can even look into her irises and see the different colors of her iris. At this time of his painting, Lucian was paying so much attention to detail that he complained of bad headaches. He was just simply looking too hard over long periods of time, 3.5 hour sittings. Now, there are historical references in this that I won't go into, but there's one thing that is very, very Freudian, Lucian Freudian, and that is the depiction of this birthmark. And even embedded within the birthmark is a wart. And I point that out only to say that Lucian was interested in all the details, everything that makes someone human. This is another portrait of Kitty, done about a year and a half later. Lucian considers it his first, quote-unquote, nude. And, you know, this is one of those paintings that's a little tricky. That it's the kind of a painting that a very smart artist is doing a lot of things, but he makes you think he's doing just one thing. It's a come-on. I mean, she has her breast out, and it's this, initially you think it's this seductive image of this woman inviting you into her boudoir. But really, it's a lot about other things. And the more you look at this painting, you realize the breast is the least part of it. It's a lot about texture. It's about the texture of this cloth in the background compared to this cloth on the sofa. It's a lot about the texture in this green terry cloth robe, which he has depicted this terry cloth with such precision. It's amazing. It's a lot about the texture of her skin versus the fur of this white albino bull terrier that they owned. And when I asked Lucien about this picture, he talked a little bit about those, but he said, really, the thing about this painting was I couldn't take my eyes off of her mole, which is in the middle of her chest. And if you look at the mole, once you see the mole, you can't not ever see it, and actually it gets bigger. There's almost this illusion. It's like a baby little dark Mark Rothko painting, kind of. And again, this is a side of Lucien that makes him a great portrait painter. It's also a side of Lucien that made some of his sitters be very unhappy with their portraits. So let's move to the other side of this gallery. There were many women in Lucien Freud's life. His first wife, Kitty. This is an early portrait of his second wife, Lady Caroline Blackwood. And Lady Caroline Blackwood was very much a part of European society. Half of her family came from the Guinness beer fortunes. And she was very much a part of a party scene throughout Europe. He met Lady Caroline at a very grand party in Jamaica at a compound called Goldeneye that was owned by Ian Fleming and his wife Anne. They fell in love, eloped to Paris, and this is an early portrait in which Lucien's being very admiring of Lady Caroline. I have photographs that can prove that her eyes are that big. There isn't a real exaggeration to them. And he's looking at her in a very loving way. So this is the beginning of the marriage. This is the end of the marriage here. And this is when Lucien begins to he's not only just describing his subjects in terms of detail, whether they be a pretty detail or a not so pretty detail, but he's adding a psychological element into his painting. So in this case, she is in their Paris hotel bedroom. She is lying looking away from him, looking somewhat tired, sickly. He has painted himself into the background using a mirror on the hotel wall, and he's in the shadows. There's a distancing effect going on here. And it's clearly a time when Lucien's starting to think about, I'm not just depicting people, I'm depicting people in my life. And all of the people in this exhibition were people that were very important in Lucien's life. They became important if for no other reason that these portraits could take a year to make, 3.5 hour sessions twice a week. So on this wall, I'm going to point out a few things. I want to point out this woman with her arms up, a woman named Lady Willoughby, who he had an early relationship with. This is also Lady Willoughby on the left, over here. This is one of his girlfriends who he had 4 children with, Susie Boyd. In the early 1950s, Freud became friends with Francis Bacon. He did a number of portraits of Bacon, again, in this very tight style. And after looking at one of the portraits of Bacon, Bacon said to Freud, why don't you loosen up? I mean, it's just, you're getting these headaches, you know, these things are so tight. If you know Francis Bacon's paintings, and there is one downstairs, just below us, you know, his things were about taking a photograph and then moving away from that reality into a more expressionist and subjective blur. Freud never used photographs, but what he was suggesting to Freud was, you know, you could get more out of your people if you loosened up. And he suggested changing brushes. So Lucien changed from this very fine sable hair brush to a thicker hog's hair brush, which meant he essentially had to learn to paint again. You know, it's that kind of a switch meant he really had to know how to work with the brush in a different way. What it did was it got him very involved in skin and depicting skin. It was almost like he was practicing the brushwork using the person's face as a place to start. And that's something that eventually became a hallmark of Lucian Freud's art, is the skin of his subjects. The other thing that happened, besides the change of the brushwork, and this was also prompted by the loosening up effect, was Lucian got up out of the chair. As I had said, early on, the sitter would sit in a chair, he would sit directly across from them, knee to knee. He decided they could sit in the chair, but he would get up, which meant that he could move back and forth on his subject. And as he did that, he could get different angles. Some of those angles are not the most flattering angles. When you look down on a person's face when light is coming from a source up here, you see a lot of bumps. You see the whole topography of the face. And it's not a fantasy kind of face. It's basically a landscape. And that's what you see here in this portrait of Lady Willoughby. Lucian, over his 70-year career, hardly ever took a commission. In fact, I think there are only two or three commissions that he ever did. And this is one of them. This is a portrait of the Duchess of Devonshire. She commissioned this to be painted when she was 28 years old. She doesn't look like she's 28 years old. But you know, that harsh light and that close examination will do that to a person, right? And the story goes that when she turned 70, she had a birthday party and invited Lucian and gave a toast and said, "Lucian, I'm happy to tell you I've finally grown into my portrait." And I'll just point this out and then we'll move to the next room. This is the very first almost full-length nude that Lucian did. And what it says, I think, is what you begin to sense in this portrait is the relationship between the sitter and the painter. And you begin to question, you begin to wonder how these poses come about. You know, what's going on here? Is Lucian dictating the rules and saying, "Take off your clothes"? And is he a predator looking down on her? Or is she deciding to do this and this is another kind of a look? And these questions come up as you look at Lucian's work. And we'll talk a little bit about it in the next few galleries. Okay. Well, this is a series of nudes. Okay. Give everybody a chance here. So this room is full of nudes, classic Lucian Freud nudes. As Lucian became more involved with the painting of skin, he asked himself the simple question, how can I get more of it? And the way you get more of it is you have the sitters take their clothes off. And I think that the whole idea of a nude for Lucian was that if a portrait, even a headshot, a head portrait, is 70% skin or 75% skin, and that you consider that a portrait, a nude would be the most complete portrait because you're not putting clothes over it. And we can all wear the same kinds of clothes, but at the end of the day, none of us has the same body, not a single one of us. And Lucian was fascinated not just by the female nude, but the male nude. His attitude was that to look at people not as an erotic object of desire, but to look at them as a species, just a naked species. We all have a lot of stuff that hang off of us. Men, women, you know, there are animals in his portraits. And Lucian was just trying to look at people as a species. And, you know, at the end of a talk like this, I'll invariably get a question, what about his relationship to his grandfather, Sigmund Freud? Well, you know, for the longest time, I tried to just put that in the background and say there is no relationship. That would be really silly of me to try to say that Lucian is illustrating his grandfather's ideas, because he wasn't. But it dawned on me that his grandfather was looking at the human species or humanity through the mechanism of the mind. And he was studying the mechanism of the mind and saying, this is how it works. This is how we work. This is how we think. Take it or leave it. I mean, it is what it is, right? Now, of course, some of the things Freud said are now disputed, but the point was he was studying the interior of the human mind. Lucian is studying the species through the human body. And I almost think if his father was a psychologist, he was an anthropologist studying this species. And I've also installed this room with the idea that Lucian painted almost as many male nudes as he did female nudes. So it wasn't just about the female as an erotic object of desire. And he was very interested also, well, we'll talk about this a little bit. This is a painting of a woman who was pregnant and who very shortly after he finished the painting gave birth. So this is at like the most ripe moment in her pregnancy. And we'll talk about this issue of weight a little bit later. The two paintings against this side wall, you probably wonder what all of this white cloth is. Lucian mixed every single brushstroke. That's a lot of work. I mean, and it's a pain because if you're going to mix every single brushstroke, you have to wipe your brush a lot. And a hand palette, would not be big enough to accommodate a 3.5-hour session. So he would use his palette. He also bought these used linens from London hotels. And if you went into his studio, there would be these piles of linen where he had been wiping his brush off. He also mixed the colors on the wall of his studio. And I'll point that out a little later on in the exhibition. Let's just move to this, back to this center gallery. This wall, there's an intention behind a number of these rooms, why certain paintings are together. Sometimes it's because of their dates, but other times it's because of some subtle suggestions. And in this case, it has to do with the sociology of Lucian's subjects. This, for instance, is Baron Thiessen, a very famous Spanish industrialist, one of the great collectors of 20th century art. The Thiessen Museum in Madrid is one of the great museums of 20th century art. And Baron Thiessen is in his $5,000 suit, sitting in this old chair, and here are a lot of paint rags in Lucian's dirty studio. And I think the suggestion here is, yes, you're Baron Thiessen, but you get treated no better than any of my other subjects. He's not painting royalty, or he's at least not painting royalty in the context, in their royal context. They're in his studio, in his dirty room, and that's how he's going to paint them. This is a portrait of a very well-known Irish bookie. Lucian was a gambler, a big gambler, and he knew horses very well, and he bet a lot on horses. A lot. Lost millions of dollars on horse racing bets. In fact, this family owns probably $50 million worth of Lucian's paintings, much of it a result of gambling debt. But, you know, the flip side, the good side is, if it weren't for gambling, we wouldn't have as many Lucian Freud paintings. Because he had to keep painting to make a living. This is a jockey, a horse racing jockey. And When I first saw this picture, I had no idea it was a jockey until Lucien pointed it out to me. His head is quite large, you know, but his body is just teeny. And it's Guy and Speck, Guy and his dog Speck. And so on this wall, it's sort of Lucien's, it's the spectrum of Lucien's social aspect. This is the guy who would own the horse. This is the guy who would ride the horse. And that's the guy you went to bet on the horses. And behind you are a series of paintings of Lucien's mother. So, you know, in a lot of cases you could say, well, an artist's work is their visual biography. And it's true in the case of almost any artist. But it's literally true in Lucien's case. This is his social atmosphere. All of the people in these paintings are people he knew or family. His mother, after Lucien's father died, became very depressed and attempted suicide. And so it's late in Lucien's life, it's late in her life. Lucien's a bit of a recluse. I mean, he does go out, particularly very late at night, and he was trying to figure out a way that he could spend more time with his mother. So he just said, well, why don't you come and I'll paint you? And given the fact that it would take a year for a single portrait, he could be with his mother, number one, and he could keep an eye on her. So these are portraits of Lucien's mother. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this. Mm-hmm. So in this room are two of Lucien's most infamous subjects. One is an Australian performance artist named Lee Bowery. And one is a woman either in the titles she's referred to as benefit supervisor or just Big Sue. And Lee Bowery was a performance artist. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was about 6'2", 6'4", weighed close to 400 pounds, huge presence, shaved head. In his performances, he painted his body. He could be either male or female. And Lucien met him at an art opening in London and asked him if he'd sit for him, and he said, sure. And I asked Lucien, well, whose idea was it to do Lee Bowery nude? And he said, well, really, what happened was he came to the studio, I opened the door, he said, hi, good to see you, came in and took his clothes off immediately, without saying hardly anything, and Lucien said, well, I just assumed he wanted to be painted nude, and that's all of his paintings were nude after that. And many of the paintings with Lee Bowery in them have a certain theatrical quality about them. Lee Bowery had a good friend named Sue, and she worked in the civil service in London, be like a benefits supervisor, like our unemployment office. And she often went to the clubs with Lee Bowery, and Bowery realized that at this point in his career, Lucien was really interested in human flesh. And he said, I know a way we can get even more of it. You have to meet my friend Lee Bowery. And I have, not Lee Bowery, I'm sorry, Sue. And I have met her, and she is not that big. She's like this, quite cute, a bit overweight. She's probably lost some weight since the days in which Lucien painted her. But having met her, I did realize that there is something that happens with Lucien's paintings, and I asked him about it. I said, you know, some things seem a little large, you know, in your pictures. And he said, well, you know, when you look at someone for 3 hours straight, a certain involuntary magnification takes place. You can't help it. You know, it just happens. And I think that clearly happened with Big Sue a bit. Let's move into the next room. Mm-hmm. This is a painting called Large Interior, Notting Hill. And in the foreground, you see a man reading with a dog sleeping at his feet. And in the background, a man nursing a baby with his breast. And I wanted this in the show. It's such a strange painting. Once you realize what it is, it sets a whole lot of things in motion, particularly if the artist's last name is Freud. The story behind this painting, which is interesting to me, shows that Lucian wasn't interested really in gender per se. You know, men are men, women are women, you know, we're just all part of this species. So in the beginning, originally, this figure was Jerry Hall, Mick Jagger's wife. And there are two stories to why she ended up not in it, although she is partially in it. One was she was nursing her baby and she thought the studio was too dirty and she didn't want her baby to get sick. Lucian's story is a little different. Lucian said, look, I ask nothing of these people. I don't ask them to be pretty. I don't care what they wear. I don't care who they are, what station in life they are. I really don't. All I ask is that you be on time, that you be punctual for the sitting, which apparently she never was. So Lucian's story is that he fired her. We don't know. But I'll just point out that these are Jerry Hall's legs and her foot. This is Jerry Hall's arm touching the baby. That breast is Jerry Hall's breast breastfeeding the baby, and that is David Dawson's breast, his studio assistant, and it's David Dawson's head. So it's a very mixed gender painting. In that first room, I pointed out the woman. There were two portraits of her. She had her arms up like this, and I referred to her as Lady Willoughby, which is her name. And that is when she was young, in her early 30s, late 20s, early 30s. And they had an affair. And this is Lady Willoughby again. And I wanted to point it out because it's across from another painting called The Brigadier, which we'll talk about in a minute. But my point in sort of juxtaposing these two is that a lot of these people stayed in Lucian's life. You know, painting was a way for him. He was social in a very distant way. He might go out, but he wouldn't be someone to go out and want to meet people. He'd just want to go out and watch people. So, you know, the way he became close to people and the way he created a circle of friends was to paint them. And they stayed with him. Lady Willoughby, you know, is someone that stayed in his life for a very long time. And then the painting of the Brigadier So this is also a very old friend of Lucian Freud's. It's called The Brigadier because it's a portrait of Andrew Parker Bowles, who is the ex-husband of Camilla Bowles, who's now married to Charles. And it's called The Brigadier because he was the brigadier of the palace cavalry. And he was a great horseman and a good friend of Lucian's. And Lucian was a great horseman, by all accounts. Everyone said Lucian was a great rider, and he and Andrew Parker Bowles would go riding quite a lot. Good buddies, drinking buddies, horse riding buddies. And at one point, probably over a couple of glasses of wine at least, Lucian had this idea that he wanted to do a military portrait. And he said, why don't I do it of you, Andrew? And Andrew said, absolutely, this is great. Let me get my uniform out. So he got his uniform out of the closet. Doesn't fit him anymore, of course. He's got this giant pot belly. And he says, this is perfect. And so he's, and you know, I point this portrait out and the one of Lady Willoughby as if to say that, you know, realism isn't just about depicting something as it looks, but realism is about depicting something as it is. And this is the point in life where Andrew Parker Bowles was, and quite frankly, where Lucian Freud was. We're old men now, but by God, we can still have a portrait of ourselves. It doesn't really matter, you know? And it's just a fabulous painting, I think. And then I wanted to point out this painting. So this is a painting called Sunny Morning, Eight Legs. And it's another one of these really bizarre paintings that you have to ask, now, how did that happen? How really, tell me the story behind that, Lucian. And the story behind it is that basically the painting began of just David Dawson and the dog Pluto. And it's a beautiful painting, and I told you in that other room of nudes that Lucian was really not just looking at gender, he's just looking at appendages. He's looking at the human body. It's got arms, it's got fingers, you know, and this has like got all kinds of stuff. You've got the arm folding over the fingers, his arm folding over this extended neck, his hand goes under the dog's tail, and there's four fingers. You've got four legs of the dog, these legs, the penis. And then and Lucian at that point said, I think we need more. And so David said, I have an idea. And David crawled under the bed and stuck his legs out. He says, now we have two more appendages. And they painted that, and it works as that. But it also references a kind of postmodern aspect to Lucian's work, which is it's not just about painting. It's a little bit about performance. And, you know, how people end up in certain poses has to do with a performative collaboration between Lucian and the sitter. Some people want to take all their clothes off, raise their hands up, and give the full Monty. Some people want to hide under the bed, literally. And there was a painting in that first room of nudes in which you saw one man standing up, naked, the other man naked, but under a blanket up to his neck. So there's a kind of collaborative performance that goes on in some of these portraits. Late in Lucian's life, he decided or felt that he needed to become closer to his family. And he had a lot of family, I should point out. He had two marriages, and you saw Kitty and you saw Lady Caroline. He had two children with Kitty. But he had, as far as we know, 17 children in all two girlfriends. Susie Boyd, he had four children. And I think as he was getting older, he was trying to reconcile some of these relationships. And he would invite them to sit. As Lucian always said to me, he says, I'm not trying to be theoretical, Michael. I just wanted to be with them. And that's all, you know. So these are his grandchildren. And he invited two of his grandchildren. He said, would you like to sit for a portrait? They said, sure, Grandpa, but we have these new ducks. Could they be in the portrait with us? And like a good grandfather, he probably wished he hadn't, he said, sure, bring the ducks along. So they brought the ducks along, and according to Lucian, they shit all over the studio. All over the studio. But Lucian put up with it like a good grandfather. He filled his bathtub up with water, put the ducks in the tub, had them sit for a while, and then when the ducks calmed down, he'd bring the ducks. The ducks weren't, they're pretty energetic. Hard to get them to sit for more than 20-minute periods at most. So I think it goes to show what lengths Lucian will go to to get a good portrait, besides just spending time. And on the left here is a portrait of another portrait of Big Sue, which I think we all can realize that this is a very good example of involuntary magnification. Where, I mean, she is a big woman and she's a heavy set woman, but she probably wasn't that big. But one of the things about Big Sue that I think Freud appreciated and that we should probably all appreciate was that Big Sue had no fear of her body. And she was proud of her body. She was very happy about her body. You know, she didn't want to be photoshopped. This is what it is. And there are photographs of her with Freud, and she just opens it all up. It's just fine. This is what I am. This is who I am. And that's the kind of a person that Freud would want to paint, to show, you know, the nature of the human body. And then this is the last gallery in the exhibition. So these paintings are very poignant to me because some of them were in the studio when I was doing interviews with Lucien. On the back wall here is Lucien's last self-portrait. And, you know, for his last self-portrait, he said, you know, I thought I should probably put a nice coat on. So he put a coat on, and he had this scarf that I never saw him without. Very beautiful sort of gray-black scarf with the little thin black lines in it. Very beautiful. But he failed to put his shirt on. That didn't seem to be a necessary requisite for dressing up. So he has the coat, he has the scarf, and you begin to see here the scumbling in his face. You can see, and all of this behind, you wonder what that is. That's the wall I was telling you about where he mixed his paint. And when I first walked into Lucien's studio, I mean, there are a couple of things that really struck me that kind of gave me chills. One was to see the chair that everybody sat in, and one was to see the bed that everybody laid on. And they're old. The chair's very old, the bed and the mattress on the bed is old, and you see the indentation on the bed and you sense the weight of each individual on it, though they're not there. But I'm running them through like a film in my mind as I look at them. The other thing was to see the walls of the studio. It was like in one room in particular, it was like a grotto of paint. A grotto of oil paint. And so Lucien has chosen very late in life here to place his head directly over the paint, which to me says that if in the beginning he was trying to make paint appear as flesh, at the end of his life he was trying to make flesh appear as paint. I mean, it was that paint is where he started. And then the image on this wall is the last painting that was in Lucien's studio when he passed away. And it is of David Dawson. And there are some people who were discouraging me from putting this in the exhibition. Their argument being that, well, Lucien isn't alive now, and it's an unfinished painting. And it's true. Lucien approved of the entire checklist of this show. He knew what was going to be in this show with the exception of this, because he hadn't finished it. I argue that it isn't really an unfinished painting. It's just a painting that he stopped. Every artist has to figure out when to stop a painting. And Lucien just, you know, if you go to sleep at night, you stop the painting. He just went to sleep for good, and it stopped. And I also think it's really instructive to see a little bit how he worked. This side of the picture is the least worked, and there is actually no paint in this area of the canvas. And when I first came to his studio, he worked on this for at least 4 years, this painting. It was just a series of charcoal marks in this general central area. I couldn't quite tell. It looked semi-figurative, but more like a Franz Kline than a figurative work. And then as I visited more often, it got built up in David's body. The dog didn't enter the picture for 2 years. And so this is the last painting. And, he painted more slowly in his later years. And so what happens is, the paint dries a bit and he keeps working it, and it gets scumbled, and it balls up a bit. And in some cases, it would fall on the ground, and he would just go, put it back in, and paint over it. So that is the tour. And I'd be happy to answer a few questions. Yeah, yes.
I just want to know, since you've met him in person, if you've had Asperger's, since he was so unemotional after seeing the documentary, like he didn't have any feelings.
I don't know if he had Asperger's. I think he did have feelings. But they're, he certainly was very kind to me. I mean, I definitely sensed that he had feelings. I didn't feel I was dealing with a robotic kind of a guy. He was introverted, often distracted visually, looking off, but he was very kind. I mean, he was a very kind man. Yes.
How did you get him to talk to you? Because what little I've read about him, he was, as you say, an unsocial person. He rarely talked to the press. I'm told he rarely talked to his fellow artists or the people who frequented Artistic Center.
I'm not sure I know. In one sense, I was just very ballsy. I just decided to go over there. I'm going to talk to the National Portrait Gallery people and say, we should do this with you. We've been wanting to do one. Let's do it. They said, fine, as long as you can get Lucien to agree. So I called Lucien, and I said, I want to meet you and come over. And, at this stage of my life, I just figured you could just say no. Screw it. So what? I'll go to some other galleries. But we did hit it off pretty well. But I think it's because, there were two things. One was we both really like to talk about painting. And that's if you know a painter, that's the best place to go. Don't talk about gossip. Don't talk about theories. Don't talk about style. Don't talk about other artists. Just talk about painting in general. And that's what we did. And he was just a very nice man. I took him to lunch. I can't imagine that my taking him to lunch at Sally Clark's cemented the deal. I mean, I did say after the third, I think it was around the third lunch, I had bought two lunches. And then the third lunch, he grabbed the bill. And he said, let me. And I said, no, Lucien, this is our pleasure. This is a great thing. And he goes, I'm not poor, you know. And I said, no, I saw, he's a painting of yours sold for $30 million the other day. I assume you're not poor. And he goes, I used to be very poor. I gambled it all away. And this is his great sense of humor. And there was this silence. And he goes, it's not so much fun gambling when you're rich. No edge. Yeah.
Did you mind saying a few words about that tiny portrait of the queen and why he painted it? It felt so small and squeezed in.
Well, artistic license, she is small. She's a tiny, she's a very imposing world figure. But she is, although I am acting like I've seen her in person, I have not. But I've seen her on television a lot, and she's not very large. And I think Lucien didn't want to aggrandize her. And if anything, he probably wanted to do the opposite, not to make her look bad, though there are members of her family that don't like that portrait because there's a shadow under her nose. It looks like she has a mustache a little bit. I think he might have been trying to stress that this is a very powerful woman who is a very little woman. I think it's as simple as that. I mean, when she accepted the throne or took the throne, I mean, she was a very young woman. And, after 60 years, I think he captured her in a way that no other portraits really capture her as a real person, not as a goddess, just as a real person.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the scan. There's two different things. The earlier paintings, the shadows are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's got something to do with it. You know, and also, in this later ones, it's so scalable, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the ones that have a lot of shadows, Lucien painted in the day, and he painted at night. And he never switched subjects. If you started as a day portrait, you were only painted in the day. If you started as a night portrait, you were only painted at night. The ones that have a lot of deep, hard shadows are night paintings because of the raking light, you know. But the day paintings are a little softer. They still have the grit to them. And these are he's just getting more and more involved in paint in these late works. Some people find them ugly. I find them, they seem really contemporary to me. They seem like a very young artist might have painted these.
You don't think the scumbling had to do with the aging process, that he had to keep working slower? And as you said,
I think so. I think there's that aspect of it. And this idea that sort of, not with David, but certainly with his self-portrait, his skin was deteriorating and the paint needed to feel slightly deteriorated. Well, that's it. I thank you all for coming and enjoy your Sunday afternoon.